I'm Van.
I'm sorry.
That's Booby.
It's no, not Booby. It's not.
This is actually Apocalyptical by the band Pussifer.
Yep.
We were actually doing a recording before, and then I got a message from the big homie, Adar. Tasco.
Oh, that this came out.
Tasco's the one that said I am simultaneously one of the most compelling and yet frustrating individuals on the internet. If you want to find out why, that actually came out of Middle America. Yeah. So the Middle America community is a sub-community within the village. These are politically minded folks, so it's not for the faint of heart. If you want to be part of the Middle America community.
I know. I don't go on Middle America very often. I went on there a couple of times and I'm like, some of this stuff was shocking. I was like, I can't believe Vin left this up. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. It's like this open community.
It's a free speech environment.
But it's not for the faint of heart.
It's not for the faint of heart. We fight a lot. We all love each other mostly. And if somebody gets really hectic, I boot them out of the group. If they're not trying to be whatever. But anyway, it's a politically minded channel. I'm assuming that this is probably about some political issue. Because Maynard is a pretty conscious dude. So we're gonna do that. Facebook.com/AmericaMiddle if you want to join. For timely topical political commentary, you can hit us up at Middle America with Vin and Sori. I got nothing else to say. Let's do it. I was not expecting this.
Not me either.
He's in a hazmat suit. You see that? This is about COVID. That's going to be the screen cap. New album coming soon, Lucifer.
I'm assuming that this is talking about COVID-19, people not taking it seriously until it's too late.
Yeah. I'm a lot more forgiving.
So then Maynard is wearing his mask.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm a lot more forgiving of people and politicians.
Doing what? As far as what goes.
With this COVID stuff.
Yeah, why? Why are you?
Because we've never been in this situation before, and there's one side that's acting like they've always taken this seriously, mm-hmm. and that the other side is not, mm-hmm. which is, again, the oversimplified political narrative that happens when you watch mainstream media.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, nobody took this as serious as it needed to be taken until it was too late. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm looking at a video right now, and I'll post these links. So here's the AP archive from 2 months ago. Pelosi, virus fears shouldn't stop Chinatown trips.
Yeah.
Speaker Pelosi visits San Francisco's Chinatown to show support amid coronavirus fears. That was 2 months ago. And now I've got this from a month ago. Coronavirus. Biden slams Trump's xenophobic Europe travel ban. Says he will lead with science. And then, of course, you've got Trump saying all types of craziness, you know, during the last sort of big rah-rah rally that Trump had. He said, oh, people are dying all over the world, we're going to be fine, da-da-da-da-da, which I don't necessarily think is necessarily a bad thing, mm-hmm. because you don't want the leader to go, yeah. ah! Right?
Right.
But neither side handled this with the gravity that was necessary. And to me, it's an oversimplification to try to pigeonhole one group of people, which, you know, he didn't specifically call out any group of people. But what I'm seeing a lot is there's this giant narrative that it was the right wing, and I'm no fan of the right wing, but it was the right wing that's been, mm-hmm. you know, taking this lackadaisically, and the left wing has always been like, ah. And the fact of the matter is, I think, no matter what I feel about, my understanding of both parties is that they'll do anything to keep power. The DNC, you know, has launched a four-year strategy, a distraction strategy, mm-hmm. which I believe has worked. Which is why that's the only way you can explain a guy like Biden. Mm-hmm. Because they have created this ridiculous boogeyman in Trump that he's somehow on par with Hitler. Right. And so in order to get everybody to believe, there's a lot of utility in getting the common person to believe that, because then you're willing to accept anything, because right. anybody's better than Hitler, right?
Right.
How else can you explain Joe Biden? Mm-hmm. Because the polls show that Bernie's policy are more popular among Americans, even in states like Texas, etc. But yet they wouldn't vote for Bernie. Why? Because the DNC, led by Obama, convinced them all that Bernie couldn't win. And so they had to go with Biden, because it's this we're in a national emergency because Trump is the most dangerous president we've ever had. And so there's been a giant brainwashing campaign for the last 4 years successfully run by the DNC. And, you know, this is just another step in that direction. You know, like, again, they were calling Trump xenophobic for saying it's this originated in China. He banned travel mm-hmm. to China. They called him xenophobic for that. He banned travel to Europe. As recently as a month ago, Biden was saying that Trump was xenophobic.
It's crazy because they go after him for that, but then they go after him for not taking it seriously enough.
Correct.
So it's like, well, which is it?
There's nothing that the man can do.
So he was wrong for banning people from traveling right. there, but then he's wrong because he didn't take it seriously enough.
Right. And look, you got a lot of people on the right wing trying to crucify Pelosi because of the Chinatown thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at her for that. Like, look, I don't believe that, and, you know, I'm a person who's pretty cynical about politics and human nature, but I don't believe that Nancy Pelosi wants to destroy America.
No, and, like, I just think that if you don't know what you're talking about, then you shouldn't say.
Yeah, but none of us knew what we were talking about. This is the first time
Then don't tell people to go down there.
In our lifetime that something has happened.
But there's too many people on that side that are telling people to do things that are dangerous. And you had Biden telling people to go down and vote.
Okay, so that I hold against Biden. Because
I'm just saying, I just...
By that time, the CDC had already said, by that time it was 25, don't be in rooms of 25 people. And some of those pollers actually died, thank you, Mr. Biden.
We saw them yanking Chinese people from their homes and stuff. Like, that should kind of make us say,
well, again,
why are you going to tell people to
China,
go right down
they
there?
They take draconian measures. I get it. What I'm saying is I'm not going to crucify Pelosi. Yeah, it's the same thing with Pelosi.
I'm saying if I was her, I would not have told people to go down and do something that I wasn't convinced was okay. And
well,
if you don't know for sure...
Well, she was obviously convinced it was okay.
She can't know for sure.
Well...
So she doesn't know what kind of danger she's putting people in. And when you have a position of leadership or you have authority over people or you have influence over people, you better make damn sure you're making the best decision possible. There's no reason to say go down to Chinatown when you're unsure.
Okay, so let me put this out to you. Trump has a proven track record, and we've all seen it, of demonizing a group of people, which at times resulted in people dying. So, for example, during the 2018 midterms, he focused on the migrant caravan, continuously called them invaders, used that terminology, said MS-13 was in the gang, in the group. He had no clue how. How would you have known that, Mr. Trump? He said that Al-Qaeda was in the ranks. Yeah. Did you know there was an Al-Qaeda cell in freaking Venezuela?
Mm-hmm.
He used that terminology. And then there was in Philadelphia, there was synagogue trying to love their neighbor as himself. And they were sending relief to the border. And then this crazy person says, screw your optics, I'm not going to stand here while my nation gets invaded.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and blasted a bunch of people into eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So I could say on the Pelosi side, what if she's thinking, oh no, we've got another group of people. And I put the majority of the blame on Mr. Trump in that situation because I understand that the guy was already obviously mentally ill. He was already on the fence of craziness, but when you push that guy over, that's part of the responsibility is on you, and ultimately it's up to God to decide how much Trump is responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But you got all these Trump apologists saying, oh no, that had nothing to do with it, the guy was crazy, da 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 da. Sorry, but when the crazy guy uses the rhetoric of the president, I'm sorry, but you don't get to say that he has no accountability whatsoever. Okay, so what if Pelosi's thinking, now this guy has put his eyes on China, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's demonizing Chinese or Asian people. And so that could result in the actual deaths of Asian people. Because Trump has already done things that have resulted in the actual death of people with his rhetoric. So she goes over there and does that so that she can kind of act as a buffer that way. That is a perfectly consistent logical syllogism to me.
Yeah.
And what I would say is, we already have evidence that bodies hit the ground due to Trump's dangerous rhetoric. There was no evidence that this thing was going to do what it did.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of people on the right are crucifying Pelosi, and then they try to go after her for the ice cream thing, both of which I think is complete BS.
Oh,
I understand why Pelosi did the Chinatown thing in New York and San Francisco. I get it. Because it was at the beginning of this thing, we didn't know, and there's a whole American exceptionalism thing. Hey, it happened in China, but it could never happen here because we're in America. So I understand why she did what she did. So I for pretty much everybody across the board is going to get forgiveness for me on the issue. The only person I really, really hold accountable, though, is Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Telling people, if you're not symptomatic, go and vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And he took no accountability for it. And I put the deaths of those people on Biden, just like I put the deaths of those synagogue people on Trump. I think that was terrible. Terrible. And I wouldn't be surprised if that little tweet gets put up there during the Trump... whatever. So, you know, my point is, there it is. Again, China. U.S. travel restrictions are too severe. Yeah.
He looked up Biden China ban, and that's what he got on YouTube.
So, I get it. There are people, though, who... See, I don't really believe... Okay, so here's a couple problems that I have, right? There are some people, and unfortunately... a lot of them are religious. As a matter of fact, it's almost been exclusively religious people who have seen this, are using this as Bill Gates is doing this to make us, he created this entire thing because he's trying to make us take vaccinations.
Yeah.
This is the mark of the beast, blah, 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 blah. And I can say definitively, no, it is not. But, so this song seems to be dedicated to the conspiratorial, you know, far-right religious sort of folks who are kind of doing like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. Because in their mind, the world is supposed to get progressively worse, and we're supposed to get plagues worse than the bubonic plague and things like that. So they're not reacting in a way that is conducive to getting us all out of this situation, because mm-hmm. they have a belief system that the worse things get for the world, the better it is for them, because they're going to end up getting raptured out of here. Mm-hmm. So, but I believe that is a very, very small cross-section of people. But when you're in a country of, what, 320 to 350 million people, you know, 1% of 350 million is enough to kill us all in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But what were you going to say? You look like you were disagreeing or what?
No. I see what you're saying. I don't know. I do see what you're saying about the Pelosi thing and what, you know, like her mindsets and what she could have been doing.
Yeah.
I guess that's a situation, that's a tough situation to be in because,
I mean, Asians,
she's trying to make it so that way, you know, yeah.
There have been escalated hate crimes against Asians because
of this. I know, yeah.
And, you know,
I don't understand that. Like, why are you going to go after the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not like, even if we found out that it was made in a lab by Asians,
by the Chinese specifically.
Yeah, by the Chinese, and that was to attack us specifically or to attack the world, whatever. Like, that doesn't mean that the ones that are living in this country are in on that.
Yes, but I think what's happening at a psychological level when you're talking about attacking those people,
I think it's fear. People are afraid, and then they see them, and it reminds them. It's the same thing as when the whole, you know, 9/11 happened, and then anybody with a
Islamic name.
Or
go after.
I don't know if it's bad to say a turban, you know, a turban on their head.
Yeah.
That was like, they were a mark, you know?
Yeah, they went after a Sikh guy, and Sikhs and Muslims have been fighting each other for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah, I agree
it's
with
just
that.
Fear.
I agree with that. And I also think it's a control mechanism, just like the toilet paper thing was, we can't control what happens with this pandemic. But I can control this toilet paper thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with going after Asians.
I do think that it's really strange, though. And I know that I'm not the only one that had this mindset, but I remember when you were like, because I did, like, if there was somebody that looked Middle Eastern and they were on the plane with me, I mean, I was always like, you know, with a sideways eye looking at them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously if I'm walking down the street, like, I had a ton of, like, I don't know, racial categories and stuff. So if I'm walking down the street and there's a white guy and there's a black guy, I'd prefer to walk by the white guy.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. But then, like, I remember when you said, how, you know, what are the majority of the shootings, the mass shootings? And then I was like, well, they're white males. And it was weird because in my mind, I didn't have a racial category for that. Like, oh, there's a white guy, he could shoot this place up, you know?
Right.
Like, it is weird that a lot of us are, we're very quick to put other people in categories, but we don't want to do it so much to our own people.
And, you know, just as an aside, even though I blame Trump for the synagogue shooting, I do not blame Trump for hate crimes against Asians. You know, people saying things like, oh, don't call it the China, you know, don't call it the Wuhan or the China flu, that's racist.
We've
like,
always called
Spanish flu, German measles, stop it. Zika, you know, West Nile, stop it. I think you got to take things on a case by case basis. You can't just go by what the media says, but I do think that there are some really, really silly, you know, like that lady, there's this viral TikTok video going around where this lady has a mask and she cut out the mouth area.
Mm-hmm.
So the mouth area is exposed and the guy's like, why are you doing that? She goes, well, the mask makes it a little bit harder for me to breathe. So I cut this. It's like, that's the entire point. That's the entire reason for having the mask, dum-dum, is to cover your breathing, cavities. Hello.
That's supposed to be a joke.
No, like she was dead ass serious. She cut the hole in the mouth and whatever and all that. Yeah, and the guy was like, thanks, I'll take that into consideration. So there are some really silly things happening right now. But at the same time, like, I've been saying this, it is not as simple as saying, shelter in place, stay home, don't go to work, and the people that want to open up cities again are just nasty, horrible capitalist people who only care about money.
No, I don't think that.
But there's a lot of people that are saying that.
No, because some people, that is their livelihood.
Correct.
And, you know, we have a small business, you know, and if all of a sudden we couldn't shoot videos for, like, if the whole time this COVID-19 stuff was going on, we couldn't shoot any videos.
Correct.
This could, you know, potentially damage our channel.
It's destroyed.
You would
lots
go backwards so far and
correct.
So fast.
Correct.
And, like, obviously, like, we're located in our house, so, you know, we're...
It's easy for us to say.
Yeah, because our business is in our house.
Correct.
So they kind of work together. But if your business is outside of your house and your business
is
not making in money and you
90,
have rent,
90%
you have bills,
of America.
You have...
Correct.
What are you going to do with all that? And then, or what if you're a business that has sells clothing and it was wintertime when this whole thing started and now all your winter supply is still there, you have not
correct.
Sold it, and now it's springtime.
Correct.
It's
correct.
Just, I feel bad for these small little shops that I see around, because those small little shops are wonderful and I love them, and it's like, how are they going to withstand the brunt of this force?
Correct. It's not that simple, because people
and
are going...
And you fight and you toil and you do everything for your business and
right.
you think that you're going to be able to go somewhere with it.
Right.
And to go through years and years of the struggle, and maybe your business is just picking up. Every time I see ads where they say, you know, 75% off the stuff, business class, I feel so sad for those
brutal.
Places, because I'm like...
And then you put a person in that situation, and the kids are home, and then you have to homeschool your kids, and people who are not
stress.
Familiar with homeschooling,
stress.
They get scared to death. The domestic violence rates are going up.
Yeah,
child abuse rates, suicide rates are going up. So it's not that simple as saying all the people that want to open up, reopen cities are just nasty capitalists. No, people are going to die on both sides.
Yeah. And I've said it before.
So now what you have to do is a horrible arithmetic of saying, mm-hmm. okay, what is going to create more deaths,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you've
right.
got to kind of balance it out. And it's not as simple as saying, oh, just open up the, you know, open up the town or whatever.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of people that have mental health issues.
Correct.
And there are some people that are fine being cooped up in their house.
Correct.
But there are other people that need to get out.
Correct.
Like, I like to get out. We don't go out all the time. We're not like, you know, whatever. But it's getting to me. Like, I want to be able to go outside. I don't want to have to wear the mask every time I go outside. I want to be able to just, you know, go out in the sun without worrying that my neighbor is going to come stand too close to me. You
yeah.
know? Like, you know, we live in an apartment complex, so everybody's stacked on top of each other. So it's, like, hard to be, like, especially when it's somebody that you know and they come up because they're trying to be friendly, and then they come too close, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. And so you're trying to, like... trying to be nice, but like,
yeah.
don't get too close.
Yeah.
And why are you wearing a mask?
Yeah.
It's just...
There are severe ramifications on both sides. And then on the other side of that, you also have... I'm not going to mention it, but there's a particular documentary that came out like a couple days ago that like exploded. And they're taking the position that the government is behind this conspiracy, yada, yada, yada. And YouTube is taking it down. And then there are these two doctors that were saying things, and that MDeath Fan emailed me. So I'm watching this thing, and these two doctors, and they're taking sort of the Swedish understanding of, mm-hmm. hey, we need herd immunity, da 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 da. YouTube, and then I looked at it for 20 seconds. I went back to look at it again. It was taken down.
No way.
Things like that, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because at the same time, I understand YouTube's position,
mm-hmm.
because... you're the largest search engine in the world aside from Google, and you have massive influence, and
mm-hmm.
this is literally life and death, and
mm-hmm.
do you as a channel want to be responsible for being a platform that dispenses misinformation that results in literal deaths by the thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands?
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, we're at like, I think it's 65K right now, and that's horrible. Horrible deaths because of COVID nationwide in America. But keep in mind, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Trump announced that we were going to have 140,000 to 240,000 deaths.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad that it got overestimated and it's much, much lower. But can you imagine being YouTube putting out this information and then people like, oh, this is all bullshit, and then it skyrockets the number and you have that on your conscience?
Well,
so I understand why YouTube would pull down those videos if that's the mindset. But on the other hand, I am not YouTube.
Right.
I am not responsible for those things, so I'm looking at this as a citizen going, hey, this is crossing a line, free speech, yada, 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 YouTube is a private
company. What type of platform are you? Are you a free speech platform, or?
And YouTube is a private company, so, like, for example, there was a guy who was, like, going through the suicide forest or whatever. They took down that video. Right? So I think everybody agrees with that. Nobody pulls a free speech thing from that. Mm-hmm. And there are limits to free speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Mm-hmm. So there's a very easy argument that this is, if these guys are wrong, and if this conspiracy documentary is wrong, that would be tantamount to yelling fire in a crowded theater times a million.
Yeah.
So there's so many issues that are going around. And my thing is, anytime we've given the government the ability to take our rights from us for our safety, they've always abused it, and they've never given it back. Mm-hmm. The most recent example was the USA Patriot Act, where, hey, let's lower the court hoops that people have to jump through for observation and breaking into people's house and planting bugs and yada, 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 yada. Started with the Bush administration, and then you see all the way into the end of the Obama administration that they were misusing that. You know, the deal with Verizon and all the rest of it. Go check it out. So I am also very skeptical of, like, wait a second here. Like, you know, these people that are going out and protesting and things like that. Like, I disagree with them in the immediate, but as for the big picture goes, the government needs to know that we are temporarily allowing you to do this, but we're not going to take this sitting down. And let's not even talk about the bailouts and the corporate shilling that, that just happened to all of us, which is going to rival 2008. And if the government doesn't course correct this, like I said, the next Occupy Wall Street is not going to be bloodless. I'll say it that way. So there are just so many moving parts to this, and I think both sides are trying to make this sound, you know, very simple, and it's not. I don't envy, you know, the Bible tells you to pray for your leaders, and I've been praying for everybody, Democrat, Republican, because I would not trade places with any of those folks for $1 billion, because, like I said, as power hungry as these people are, I believe that Trump loves America and American people. I believe Pelosi loves America and American people. I believe they love power. I believe they love their money and their influence, for sure. But I genuinely believe that these people don't want to see our country harmed. And even if you're that cynical, you could say, well, if America is harmed, it's bad for their wallet, right? So at least at that level, you can say that you believe that they're looking out for us. So I think we're going to get together. We're going to figure it out. I think we're going to be stronger for this. But I think that, you know, aside from the small group of people that this song seems to be directed towards, the rest of us are taking this as serious as we need to take it, and hopefully we learn the lessons from, you know, whatever. But anyway, what do you get the song?
It was a really weird song. Like, I don't know, visually it was very strange, and even sonically I felt like it was strange. Like, it was, I couldn't, like, put my finger on what I actually thought about the song. I felt like I was stuck in this weird, I don't know, but then at the same time, it kind of seemed like the perfect song for this, because life is weird right now. When I go out in public and it's a ghost town, it's weird. When I stand in line at Walmart to get into Walmart and everybody's masked up and spread out and stuff, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that the song captured the feeling of COVID-19 and what it's done to our society.
Yeah.
Because even after, let's say tomorrow they say, okay, everything's okay, everybody can demask and come out in public and carry on as usual, you're still going to feel weird for a while that maybe this is not. I feel like it's going to take at least a year before you feel completely comfortable, because the seasons, especially in Maine, the seasons are going to change. So, you know, there's this talk that during the summer it's going to lighten up and everything's going to feel more normal, but then as winter hits again, like, it's going to have another thing of it. So I feel like it's going to take like a year before everybody can feel regular again and feel comfortable with, you know, not having to wear a mask. Like, I think people will take their masks off, but I'm not sure how comfortable. I think they're still gonna kind of be like that. Like, it's like Joe Rogan was saying, like, you watch movies now and you see people all crowded together, and like, every time I see a crowd, I'm like,
well, we're watching a show right now.
Yeah, everybody's touching each other. The guys meet each other,
they hug and kiss each other and all that, and I'm like,
it's a weird thing, because I know I'm watching a show, and I don't know why I feel that But I do, every time I see them doing it and grouping together, I'm like, and the majority of our lives have been spent grouping together. This is a very short thing, but for some reason this short period is
There's no two ways about it.
It's weird.
It's very, very strange. And
so I think for me personally, I didn't really like this song. Yeah, I didn't really like it. But I think that they captured what they were doing so well that I'm going to give it a high rating. It's not something I would want to listen to again. I don't like it.
I'm actually not going to rate the song because I just feel like this is something that like they just all sat out and were just happen to be around each other or maybe, you know, whatever and just threw it out. And I don't want to, I just don't feel like it's an actual like song. I think it's more like the message was more important for Maynard to get out there than the actual. He wants to use his influence to get people to slow down because that small group of conspiracy people, which, like again, I'm saying, I'm choosing to apply this to a very, very small group of people because there are a lot of really focused individuals on the right wing that are bringing out, you know, Tucker Carlson, I think, is a good example. I think, you know, this is kudos for trying to use your influence for something positive. I'm not going to rate the song because I don't really think this is an actual, like, Pussifer song. Like, based on the other song, we've done like four or five of them, and they're a lot more intricate and harmonious and melodious and whatever.
I think the reason I'm
Getting him a pass for that.
Yeah, like I said, I would give it a really low rating because I'm not like a huge fan, but I'm going to go with a 9 because I think they captured the weirdness and I feel like the message was, you know, important. So it was very repetitive though. Like you said, it did kind of feel like they just kind of threw something together and threw it out there real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my final answer.
There you go. Shelter in place. If you're stressed out though, you need to talk. You know, it's one of the reasons why we're doing the firesides. And we're not out here to save the world, obviously, but, you know, if hanging out with us for 2 hours at a fireside will help you and have that human connection, then great. Find some way to do that, because that is absolutely important. Mm-hmm. Take care of each other. Mm-hmm.
Huh? And don't forget, we have on our Patreon, there's for $1 a month, you can jump on and you can get on Discord where you can talk to other people from the village, people that enjoy the same types of music as you. And if you're in a situation where you can't jump on Patreon, but you really want to connect with the other people, just send us an email and explain, you know, just talk to us a bit about what's going on with you, because we really want people to feel connected. And if $1 a month is going to make it so you can't stay connected, then just have a conversation with us. So anyway, much love to everyone, and we'll see you next time.
Been out.
Sorry, out.
Gone.